please God. And God said, oh, that's cool. Why don't you come to my place now? Interesting, huh? We're always trying to get God to do something for us, but the people who please God, they're in the hall of faith of Hebrews, right? What we call the faith. They're the ones pleasing God. The modern Christians now are trying to get God to do something for them. Well, it doesn't really work that way, does it? Now, God loves us. He wants us to be blessed. We know that. But there's more to it than often. You know, we were just talking earlier, somebody was just mentioning earlier about, there's a God side and there's a man side, right? We can't step over and do God's job and God isn't going to do our job. Verse 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. I like this. This is interesting here because he's talking about, we'll assume Paul wrote Hebrews. There's some debate on it, but we'll just say that he did. It's interesting here because he just gets done talking about how Enoch pleased God. He goes and he discusses faith here. He says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we need to have a righteous mentality, doesn't it? Righteousness mentality. What that means is that I've been justified by Christ and I can go to God's throne. So that means we go to God confidently. That's what faith is. And we're here to please him. Verse 7. It was by faith that Noah, here we go. You notice how these are, I want you to listen here really quick. You know what verbs are? I'm not an English guy, okay? All right, I'll just tell you that right now. Adrian's more the English person, but I do know what a verb is, okay? And around our house, we say, we're going to do a verb right now. I don't want to say this, but I'll say, you're going to do this, which is an action word, right? So the verb here is Noah what? Built. He did something. A large boat to save his family from the flood. Now, I want to ask you this too. People thought Noah was crazy. Why? Because it hasn't rained before. We see in Scripture that actually springs came up from underneath. They didn't. There was no rain back then. But they were surprised when the heavens cut loose, right? Because it came from underneath and from above. So there's something there that scientists think, and many biblical scholars, again, there was something that happened. So, who was it? Just last week, somebody was or prophesied about that it was going to be raining fish, and then what was it? Timothy Dickens. And then what was it happening? It just, this last week, it was raining fish. There was fish coming from the sky. So how that even makes sense, I don't even know when it was on the news, right? I don't know how that even came about. But it was on the news and they reported it, okay? So I'm just telling you what, God can do things where you're sitting back and think, I don't even understand that. How's that even? And somebody can say that and you're thinking, that's crazy. But when it comes from God, it's not. So again, we're sitting here, we see Noah, everybody around him, I know they're probably making fun of him, they're mocking him going by, they're going, this guy is just off of his rocker building this boat. There's no water around. There's nothing. And can you imagine building? It's not like a boat where, you got like a little pontoon boat or, a little bass boat where you could drag it somewhere. Okay, this boat isn't one where you can drag anywhere. Right? Hello? I mean, you're carrying, elephants and giraffes and, it calls animals. This isn't going to be a portable thing where we're just going to take it out on the weekends. It's stuck there, right? Unless God moves it. So everything about this just screams craziness. But again, he's to what? Please God. What did he do? How did he do it? His faith was executed by pleasing God, and he began to build the boat. What did he do? He just simply obeyed. Right? We want to complicate things. We want to, think that we're going to memorize 12,000 scriptures, and that's good to memorize scripture. And definitely, we need to memorize scripture, or we need to get into the word. But it's what we do with the word. Right? Whether it's Rhema or Logos. Right? Rhema is the spoken, Logos is the written. And so, some denominations, all they focus is on just only written word, right? We need, that's the form. That's the foremost. But the Bible doesn't tell me whether I need to take this job or not, right? The Bible doesn't tell me who I need to marry. Bible, you know, there's no. That's why we need the spoken word and the rhema word. The rhema word in us, don't we? Because the Holy Spirit can speak things to us. I can't find in here where, you know, where I'm supposed to move, where I'm supposed to live, where the God's leading me to do anything. But this is the basis of understanding God, isn't it? We discover God through this, and the Holy Spirit reveals things by His Spirit for us specifically. And so, it was by faith Noah built the large boat, right? The people thought he was crazy, but what did he do? He put action to it. He was obedient. Mr. Gary was just talking about Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 earlier, and I was just quoting that the other night. Ephesians 6, they were talking about scriptures. I like this scripture. I said, I like Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Right? But he obeyed God and who warned him about things that had never happened before, right? By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham, I'm sorry, what was this? There's a four-letter word here. It's called obey. Obeyed when God called him to leave. We're going to dig into this in a minute. We have some time tonight. I don't know how far we're going to get. To leave home and to go to another land that God had given him as an inheritance, he went without, here we go, knowing where he was going. Interesting here, you know, and again, we'll read the scripture here in a minute because there's a lot of things to take within this. But when God told him to go, it wasn't like, well, when do we go? How long will it take? You know, we got those kids, you know, the kids when you go anywhere, and it's like, Dad, how long? Mom, how long? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we haven't got out of the driveway yet, you know. Are we there yet? Are we there? There yet? But he just did it. He just went. And if you, I don't want to give it up. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20. And it says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. Here we go. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. You know, we see the Bible says that Noah was accounted righteous. We see that Abraham was accounted righteous. Were they born again? No, they weren't. Not yet. But they were not even born again, but the Bible says they were counted righteous. Why? Because of their obedience. Because of their faithfulness. Because of them obeying what God told them to do. The Bible, they were counted righteous. We know that they're not obviously born again until Jesus came, and you know. But during that time period, they were counted righteous because of their obedience. So they were righteous because of their obedience. How does God measure faith, right? He does it. Does he do it through, oh, I cram scripture? No, it's good to memorize scripture. It's good to do these things. Watching Christian TV, you know. No, it's by obeying him. Obeying him. And so faith is, I like to say it this way, faith is a step of commitment, is commitment. It's amazing how all these things we're just talking about tonight, before I, you know, came up here, well, we're just talking about commitment, right? People who you know, make a decision, or God likes people that are going to make a decision and they're going to stick with it. We were just talking about, was it James, you know, where he talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, right? Well, that's not faith, is it? I mean, we don't come back and go, well, I'm, you know, God's going to do it, and then the next day, he's never going to do it. He's going to do it. Oh, he's not going to do it. We're not going to get anywhere, right? When you stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go. You know, you feel like in a driver's ed car with God, you know? You're like, God's like, okay, are we going to do this thing? Are we going to hit the gas, and are we going to go? I'm getting nauseous. But I mean, you know, maybe, you know, some of the adults, you've had friends, I've had friends before too, where, or, you know, you've been around people, they can't make a decision. you know, they won't call you back, or, you know, never did anything for you, they weren't interested in you, never asked anything about you, didn't look in the eye, you know, showed no interest at all, how would that relationship go? Right? You know, it's, people like to have, you know, it's interesting. And you know, I'm talking about not extreme, but I'm saying, you know, it's nice to be around somebody when you ask them, hey, where do you want to go to eat? Where do you want to go eat? And this is in our car. And it's probably nobody else, right? Nobody else ever deals with this. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But we ask, you know, some other people in the car, they're like, I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to go here. Right? Well, that gives us something to work with, doesn't it? You know, now we've got some decision makers in the car, right? And that's what faith is. Faith is a decision maker saying, I am going to move forward with God. I am going to do this. I'm obeying. I'm stepping out. I'm doing these things. So, you know, obviously those who lack faith, often they can't commit. And that's what an unstable person is. They can't commit and execute, right? They can't move forward. They can't execute. They're always questioning things. And let's look at, Galatians chapter 3. Let's turn there. I always liked Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. He's kind of my papa in the faith there. I remember he was actually invited to be on presidential council on different occasions, and he refused to do it because it was conflicting with his class. He'd rather teach us than, yeah, go on a presidential council. I mean, you know, most people would jump at that. I'll do that. But he thought it was more important to pour into people like me and other people than to do that. He thought that we the students were more important than that. That's commitment, right? Why? Because he's pouring the word into people to go do something and execute for God, right? Not to say that that wasn't important or there weren't some very important elements of that, but I love Brother Hagin because I remember one time being in we were down at Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa, and a Broken Arrow, and there was a move of the Spirit throughout the whole, and you know, Brother Hagin just kept teaching and kept teaching and kept teaching, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, it was like you could see a wave throughout the whole congregation. It was like, you know how they do the wave at sports games, you know, and it just looked like that. People were just following the Spirit, and all of a sudden it hit my row, and I ended up like two rows back behind the Holy Spirit, just hitting in place, just went bananas. And you know what he's doing? Still teaching, putting the word out. Right, and I'm like waking up, and my pastor was next to me, and it was crazy. And I'm like, this is amazing, this is awesome, and everything. It was Brother Hagin. He was stuck in what he was supposed to do at that time. Now, he had gone out and ministered to people before, and he'd flowed in the Holy Spirit and did things like that. But the cool thing about him was, whatever it was, he just stuck with it. You know, I remember when I'd go see him or, you know, classes or anything, it was just, I had him for Spiritology, and he would just open your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 23rd verse, and like every day. It was like, and then you just say it over again. You sit down and you're like, okay, open your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, 23rd verse, right? But he's so solid, right? He just went right along, you know? You'd watch him teaching faith and everything. Open your Bibles, Mark 11th chapter, 23rd verse. He just, you know, but that's faith though, right? Because our flesh wants to get bored with things, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, we just want to get, oh, this is boring, I don't like this at all, and we move on, and we miss the blessings. Mm-hmm. We miss the nuggets, right? You know, I've said this before, I'll read Genesis and it feels like a different book every time I read it because there's so much depth. I mean, anything I read, I'll look at things, and there was one time I was reading things about Jesus and I'm like, whoa, I never even saw that before, right? There was one time in the Gospels and it completely flipped out and I saw where Jesus was there and it says all of a sudden he was at another spot and I'm like, whoa, he's translated. That was amazing. How did I not catch that? Right? You just like things like that. That is like the Bible says he was here, and then immediately he was at a different location. And I'm like, but that's the word, right? Because he's giving it to us as we go, and that's faith. We're seeing things in a new light. Right? When we get to heaven, you know, I'm just going to be amazed because, and I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you know, we're going to look at God and we're going to see something new. Every time we look at God, or as we're looking at God, we're going to have a new revelation of him in eternity. Like there's going to be something new we're going to discover about him, like every second. I mean, there's just going to be something new that's going to blow our mind. Eternity. I mean, think about that. How awesome God is. And to think about, he could give us a revelation that blows our mind every second for eternity. Something that is that amazing and incredible as God. Okay, I'll move on. But the cool thing, the great thing about it is the people who walk in faith build a foundation for us. Now, I always like to honor those people like Brother Hagin and like Lester Summerall and like, you know, all the other greats out there that God has really used, Smith Wigglesworth and all those other people, because they give us a foundation that we can build upon. You know, when I was in prayer school, one of the great things that I had Jim Hockaday, and one of the great things is like, you know, Daddy Hagin never wanted us just to sit and just mimic him, but it was like to take it and to build upon him, right? And we think about this great nation and there's weird stuff that's going on. But, you know, all the infrastructure that we enjoy, the lights right here today, this was all of the utilities, you know, all of this was the sewage, the utilities, all of this stuff was someone else's hand. The highways that we enjoy, all the infrastructure that we enjoy here, someone put their hand upon and we build upon it. Yeah. And we enjoy those things because of labor that has been. For example, you know, we look at, you know, people like Thomas Edison, you know, or Tesla. You know, we don't have to have big enormous batteries around, but he invented AC, alternating current. So we can have someone, you know, miles away, and they can pump electricity in here instead of having all these humongous batteries along the way. Or we can have Henry Ford that produced mass-produced cars. You know, it goes on and on and on, but we take those things and we build upon them. I mean, can you imagine if we were still, you know, driving a Model A in this snow? No thanks, right? It was like freezing all the way to church, and, you know, we'd have to stop and change a tire, and then have to crank it up again, and, I mean, no thanks, right? It was great in its day, but we got to build upon those things, right? And that's the same thing with faith. We need to go farther, because, I mean, can you imagine Abraham? He obeyed God, and the Bible says that God said, I'm going to make you famous, but can you imagine if we just stopped there? Mm-hmm. What happens if we just stop, frozen time, stop there, and we're still sharpening our blades, cutting up animals, giving sacrifices, you know, can you imagine that anytime we have to go, well, I messed up, I gotta present a sacrifice down at the temple, you know, and I gotta do this, and give me a break. Who wants to live like that? Jesus set us free. We don't do that anymore. And that's where faith is. We build upon it. God never wants us to stay in one place. He never wants us to stay stagnant in one place. But you know, we see these things, and then we've seen everything from there until, you know, we got internet now. We can communicate with people. We can call people. It's incredible what we've had, but we keep building on things. The same with faith. We need to build on things that we've had, that we've seen in the past. And so Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, this is shouting clothes right now, like Brother Hagin says. Get your shouting clothes on, eh? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, we'll start in verse 13, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus said in the Word, he said he didn't come to remove the law, but he came to fulfill it, right? But we don't have to, you sin, sorry, you're done. But there's forgiveness there. And then he goes on and he says, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself, I'm reading out a New Living Translation, by the way, the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, curses everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, here we go, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. Let me stop right there. Only then, back in the Old Testament, during this time period, only the Hebrews or the Jews received this. Thank God that all the blessings on Abraham are now on a Gentile like me, right? I can now have all the blessings that the Hebrews had and more in the Old Testament. And I'm an old, dirty Gentile. I mean, I'm unclean in their sight, right? But now I can take advantage of those benefits. And here we go. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit. Here we go. Through what? Faith. We can assimilate a couple things now. We can assimilate faith with obedience, right? Because they're inseparable. Everything that Abraham received was conditional on obedience. Let that sink in for a minute. Everything Abraham did that he is accredited for faith is only because he was obedient. You can't separate him. It's impossible. You can't separate what Christ accomplished at the cross without his obedience, right? If he would have turned tail and run in the Garden of Gethsemane when he started sweating blood, that was Christ's conquering was through obedience. That's it. You can't separate. You cannot separate faith from obedience. It's impossible. Never, 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 right? What is the thing that Noah was accredited for faith for? It's because he was obedient to build a boat. Without building the boat, he's not righteous. He doesn't have faith, right? Obedience is never segregated. It's never separate from faith. It's always together. They're always working together, right? That's where many people have a disconnect, is because they think that we're going to get God to do something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. No, 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 no. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice, right? Sacrifice means my way of doing things, right? I did it my way. Was that an old Sinatra song or something? Yeah. God's like, nah, I'm not playing that tune. Nope. It's not. Faith and obedience are synonymous. You can't separate them. Sorry. Everything we read here in the Hall of Faith, it is. It are people who are sacrificing and obeying God and doing what he's told them to do. They are credited as having faith and walking out things, right? Because what is faith? Just believing in God. That what he said is real. Well, what he said is real, is true, then you're going to do what he says. Genesis chapter 12, here we go. We're going to get into this. I don't know how much longer we're going to get, but Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to read about Abraham. We're going to dig in here for a few minutes. I've overstuffed the turkey, guys. I'm sorry. I can't finish it up today. But I hope you're not bored. Are you all sleepy on me? No? Okay, good, good, good. Amen. Thank God for lights and furnaces and air conditioning and windows and all kinds of other good stuff. Right? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, and it says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation." Now, this is all contingent, right? See, this is the problem. Many Christians, well, I had this word spoken over me, or I had this happen, or God's promises is this. No, God's promises are out there. It doesn't mean, John 3:16, we just were talking about this earlier. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Mm-hmm. Not just because Christ died and provided salvation for everybody, not everybody's going to take advantage of that. Sorry, it's just not. So, I don't believe in the whole, this isn't universalism. In fact, if you read farther in that, it says, talks about the people. It gives you that wonderful scripture John does about how Jesus rescued the world and, God gave his only son. And after that, it talks about the world being condemned because they don't believe. What does that mean? They don't act on that revelation. They don't act on the revelation. They don't have the obedience. They don't do that. And so they don't have faith and they don't experience these things. Okay? Here we go on this. And it goes, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, right? So he's saying, if you do this, I'll do this, right? That's the God, that's the man side and the God side we're seeing here. The man side is, go to this country, go here to this land I'm telling you to do. And God's saying, I'm going to make you great. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Didn't we just read there in Galatians how we were going to receive the blessings? See how Abraham's revelation and his obedience now, because of that and because of this promise in the scripture, we are now reaping the benefit of him going, all right, Sarai, let's do it. We have no idea when we read things in the scripture that this is me right here and this is you. Mm-hmm. Do you see how important it is for us to obey God? Yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, if you wouldn't have done this, this is the lineage of Christ. This is the deal right here. This is the father of the faith. Mm-hmm. You and I now are receiving blessings because of Galatians, the third chapter we just read. Because of Christ, we now get everything that Abraham has right here. All of this belongs to us because of we now have access as Gentiles through Christ to reach back and to take advantage of all the blessings that Abraham has right at this point. Right at this point in history, you and I are now blessed because of Christ and because of Abraham's faithfulness to do this. Then it goes on and it says, I will bless you and make you famous. I mean, you can run and shout if you want to. I'm telling you right now, this is incredible. This really is incredible revelation here. And then it goes, and you will be blessed to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. Guess what? God's got your back. If you have people that are coming against you, God is going to take care of it. He says right here, those people who bless you, I am going to be a blessing to them. Those who come against you, I'm going to take care of myself. And then he goes, all the families on earth will be what? Blessed through you. That's me. That's you. All of the families on earth will be blessed because of him stepping out and moving. Here we go. So Abram, what? What's the next word there? Departed. He did it. He stepped out and bam, now we got it. Now everything's in motion, right? Yeah. Here's, and it says, as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, and he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. Now, this is such revelation, it's amazing, okay? I just, number one, there's no plan B. That's it. I'm taking everything with me, and I'm going. There's no plan B. I am done here. Now, then you read here, the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan. Now this takes faith to go there, okay? I'm just telling you, this is a place. And Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moran. And at that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Now, there's no plan B. He does it. He obeys God. He goes to Canaan. I want to read to you a little bit about where he's going to. See, we miss all these things because we're like, oh, Abraham left, and then he went to the land of Canaan, and then God blessed him and everything else too. But if we don't take the New Testament and tie how that affects us to the Old Testament, and then we see where what he really was dealing with at that time, we have no appreciation for any of this stuff. I mean, we have no idea what this really means, right? I want to read a little bit about the Canaanites, and we'll close here. The Canaanites were a group of ancient people who lived in the land of Canaan on the eastern sides of the Mediterranean, okay? But I really want to get to the point here where it says, they're mentioned over 150 times. They were wicked, idolatrous people, descendants from Noah's grandson Canaan, and whose was the son of Ham. So Noah's son Ham had him. And so Canaan was cursed because of his and his father's sin against Noah, right? So what happened was he saw him naked, didn't didn't clothe his father, didn't do those things. And so that's what happened. In those passages, the Canaanites specifically refers to the people of the lowlands of the plains of Canaan. In other passages, Canaanites is used more broadly to refer to all of the inhabitants of the land, including the Hivites, Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, or the Perizzites. We can say the Perizzites too, right? The Perizzites. But all of these group of people are under the same, they are wicked, evil people. He is going into, because God said, this is the promised land I want you to go to. And what did the devil say? I'm going to bring my crew in there, and we're going to hang out there, and we're going to take over this land, right? So here's what God is telling him. I'm going to make you famous. You do this. You obey me. I'll bring blessings. People come after you. They'll be blessed because of you. And by the way, I'm bringing you to the nastiest bunch of people on the face of the earth. And I want you to do it. Right? You know, it's like a few years ago, if God would say, hey, here's the whole thing. I'm going to bring in this great land and everything. And let's say we're back in, 2000, whatever, 2005, when we had the whole war going on and everything. And God told me to do this and do this. And I'm supposed to go to live in downtown Baghdad. Right? You know, most people, no, thank you. Thank you, but no thank you, right? I'm going to pass on this. I'm pretty happy. I mean, think about it. Here's Abram. He's loaded. He's got servants. I mean, he's a fat cat. Everything's going great for him, okay? And God says, pick up all your stuff. I need you to relocate around a bunch of heathens. And the crazy thing about Abram is he has a heart for people, and he later tries to save them. His nephew gets mixed up in this crowd, and he's still praying to God. He is going before God and saying, Lord, if there's 50, just save him, Lord. God, if there's, goes down to, I believe God would have said if there's one, he would have done it, right? He just stopped too soon, Because God is, hey, if you're the only lost person on this earth, he would still come down, I believe, and do the same thing he did just to save you or just to save me and rescue us. Yeah. Amen. Well, I have overstepped the turkey tonight. I am so sorry. I could go on, but amen. We'll finish this up next week. But I don't know if we'll finish it. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll try. But faith and obedience are synonymous. You cannot separate faith from obedience. When you study the scriptures, you're going to see both of them together. We need to stop thinking of faith as I'm going to hide in my closet, I'm going to rattle off a bunch of scriptures, and God's going to show up, and everything's going to be wonderful. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. I mean, if that was the case, and Jesus could have come down here, he could have prayed us all out, we would have been all happy and wonderful, but there had to be a sacrifice, and we had to go through things, right? The Bible says, when you're persecuted. It doesn't say if. I mean, how have you had things happen like maybe you've had maybe a financial shortage or maybe issues in your body or anything else? That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means stuff does come down the pipeline. I know that this is against other people, but stuff's going to come down the pipeline because if they attack Jesus and Jesus suffered and things happen, you better believe I'm not as spiritual as Jesus and have definitely as much revelation as he does. If they're coming after him and he dealt with things, the Bible says that he dealt in every way imaginable that we do, that thing is going to come on us, right? It's going to try to attack us, but we are overcomers. Amen. Because of obedience and faith. Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord God. We praise you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for these precious people, Lord God. I thank you that the revelation of you and obedience and walking in the plan and being obedient and having faith in you and knowing that you always cause us to triumph in the name of Jesus. That whatever you call us to do, there's going to be success. There's going to be victory, Lord God. We're going to walk through things, and it's going to be the best plan for our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And praise God. Well, amen. Wednesday night prayer. Hallelujah. More prayer. We're going to continue to pray things out. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. What?
Wonderful.
You're wonderful.
No, you are.
You're my little.